With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Grant and Danny here on The Fan. GP is out this week. He's at his sister's wedding. So you got Pete Metters sitting to my right. Pedro, what's up, buddy?
I'm just glad I made it inside the building today.
I know. There's no joke.
If your business is threatening to move to the district, you need to go to Indeed.com and get another job.
Well, just give it a minute. Give it a minute. Give it a few weeks to whatever this is that's happening a few blocks to our north dies down. You know what I'm talking about. Thanks for tuning in to the radio program. Football was played. Couple other stories caught my attention. We'll get into them, Pete, as kind of today goes on, the week goes on. I didn't know how bad Reuben Foster's injury was. There was an update that I saw on the post, and I went, whoa, buddy, this is way more serious. He just regained feeling in his foot. We'll touch on that. Our buddy Lorenzo Alexander will hop on at 11. We're going wall-to-wall Super Bowl stuff, okay? Conference title games happen. We will get deep into what we saw this weekend, what it means going forward. How the Redskins relate or don't. We'll talk about that in the 11 o'clock hour. Ask you who you're rooting for. But we'll get to all those fun things as the show goes on. We got to start with, as I said, conference title games. And what everybody loves to do, Pete, is you've got your opinion or you got your axiom. You got your viewpoint. AKA, I'll give you an example. Chris Russell believes the most important thing is rushing attempts. He just wants the ball to be run and he wants rushing and thinks rushing is the only way to do it. And he won't update his file about best practice. Okay, he
doesn't. Be careful, he's going to mute you.
Well, I may be muted then. He doesn't seem. He claims to like analytics, but then doesn't care when you've got data that says here's your best practice. Of course, there are exceptions. There are going to always be exceptions. If you can do what say San Francisco did, do it. Analytics don't frown upon that. All we're telling you is when you see an 18 and the dealer showing a 6, you don't hit. You could sometimes win. When you have an 18 and the dealer shows a 6, you can sometimes get a 3. Get a nice little 21 for yourself. Best practice is X. But anyway, I digress. People want to wait for something to happen and then make a huge declaration about football, right, based on what they saw. You still got to run the ball, or this game is still about throwing the ball because Pat Mahomes did what he did. So I'm asking for your declaration. What did you see this weekend? 800-636-1067. We'll start right here. Kind of first takeaway, first reaction to the games you saw. Two very different teams built in very different ways getting to play for the ultimate prize here in the sport. Kansas City breaking a decades and decades and decades long drought of futility and almost and close. San Francisco returning to a place it seems like they're in every few years. I believe it's their 8th appearance in the Super Bowl, maybe 7, I can't remember. But they've been to a conference title game 16 times. They're going. Teams are built differently. What did you see? What's your first reaction?
First of all, love to see a team like Kansas City who, look, the reason why we have more exciting brands of football these days were because of teams like Kansas City who translated from the AFL into the NFL. They helped lead at least a migration toward more exciting football because at that point in the NFL, your definition of football was run Jim Taylor left and Jim Taylor right for the Green Bay Packers. That's what we saw. The AFL teams brought a little more excitement, a little more pizzazz, and Kansas City, 50 years ago, the last time they obviously participated in a Super Bowl, happy for the Hunt family from that standpoint, and happy for Andy Reid, because look, the guy's done everything in this game you can do as a head coach. He's won games. He's been to title games. The only thing he hasn't done, obviously, is win the Super Bowl, and now he's got himself back in position to do that. On the other side, look, this is a situation where San Francisco had a physical mismatch going against Green Bay, and Kyle Shanahan said, hey, wait a minute. We don't need to reinvent the wheel here. We keep running you over. We're just going to keep handing the ball to running back du jour. Wouldn't have mattered if it was Raheem Mostert, Brendan Dar, Tom Daly. They would have run for 200 yards as well because of the physical mismatch San Francisco's offensive line created, and thus they continued to play that way and dominated the Packers 37-20.
You speak of dominance. That's my takeaway. You think of a baseball team, right? What's the best way to win a baseball game or 100 baseball games or a World Series? used to be all starting pitching. Well, then somebody came along and said, we can't afford starting pitching. What if we have the best bullpen ever? Well, you got to hit a bunch of home runs. Well, what if we win with contact and speed and defense? There's a million ways to build a baseball team, right? Here's my takeaway. If you build the dominant unit, whatever it is, offense, Kansas City, defense, San Francisco, or in years past, you look at Super Bowl history, those Seattle defenses, when you look at DVOA, among the best ever, look at the Denver team that won it, the Von Miller wrecking ball crew with Malik Jackson and Wolf and the Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, and one of the great defenses of all time. You want to build it with a great offense? Whatever you want to do, if you build the dominant unit, you can keep playing. Tennessee damn near got to the Super Bowl just by running the ball. San Francisco can win any way that you want to win on offense. They want to shoot out. Jimmy Garoppolo had a 4-touchdown game on the road against New Orleans. They can win this way, they can win that way, but their defense is excellent. It is excellent, excellent, excellent. If you build a dominant unit, everything else can kind of get figured out. That was my takeaway from this weekend. If you look at San Francisco defensively, okay, they mirror the Redskins a little bit, and nobody wants to hear this, and I understand that. I'm not telling you the Redskins are going to the Super Bowl next year. That's laughable. That's comical. That's a joke. What I'm saying is San Francisco, down kind of in the muck, a nice young defensive core with some really good pieces up front. They draft Nick Bosa, number 2, defensive rookie of the year in my mind. Next thing you know, this defense just rushing the passer, just getting after it without having to blitz 5, 6, 7 guys. Secondary improves. A guy like Richard Sherman, who we thought he was on his last legs leaving Seattle, has one of the great years. As he's been healthy, going up and down the field. Defensively, they are amazing. They are amazing on defense. That's the best defense remaining. Looky here, they're in the Super Bowl. New England's defense this season was probably better statistically, but not by that much. New England, because they started off so incredibly well on defense, Pete, was getting all the attention and all the credit. Whisper quiet, San Francisco, playing better offenses most weeks, to be honest with you. Patriots are beating up on Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami. Congrats. They were great. I'm not saying they weren't. But San Francisco was doing it against better competition. If you look at what their opponents were capable of, even in that own division. Their defense is incredible. They go to the Super Bowl. Kansas City's offense, down 24, doesn't matter. They put up 51 points in 3 quarters a couple weeks ago. You could see how good they are. And if you get a dominant unit, you can go to the Super Bowl.
Which is why I think you're going to see something closer to what we saw with San Francisco, New Orleans, because Kansas City has the skill people that – regardless of whether you drop 7 in coverage and rush 4, Patrick Mahomes is a guy that is versatile. Andy Reid rolls the pocket with him, moves the pocket. He's able to keep plays alive, therefore make big plays off schedule because of the speed they have on the outside with Tyreek Hill. They do things unconventionally with jet sweeps. They don't really have the traditional running game whatsoever. Their running backs are marginal at best with Williams and LeSean McCoy, if he's healthy and can possibly play. But other than that, you know, Kansas City's got the skill people like New Orleans to just make your life miserable. If you don't get to the quarterback, then they're going to score points against you. It's that simple. If you don't get Mahomes down or rush him out of the pocket where he's got to scramble for 3 or 4 yards, they're going to score points. That's just because they are that skilled on the offensive side of the football.
So we're asking for your declaration. What did you learn? What are your takeaways from this weekend? 800-636-1067. You know this league. You watch the NFL religiously, just like we all do. This is a copycat league. Well, what are people going to be copying? What's the takeaway that you saw here from this past weekend? A couple dominant performances in dramatically different ways, I might add. Neither game was close, really. I mean, Tennessee was sort of there. They were a score behind, but you just knew as you're watching it. Kansas City's about to pull ahead. If you don't score here, Tennessee, Kansas City's going to get the ball back, and they're going to score a touchdown, and then the whole thing's going to be over. San Francisco never let Green Bay in it. It was never close. It was never in doubt. Two dramatically different approaches. Same result. A couple teams going to the Super Bowl. We'll take kind of an early look at the Vegas betting line on this thing. People seem to like Kansas City an awful lot. I'll tell you why I like San Francisco. But there's plenty to get to here. Also got to talk about some ratings. The ratings were down. Mm-hmm. The lowest they've been in almost 15 years. We'll do that at 10:30. But next, your calls. 800-636-1067. Your takeaways from your AFC and NFC title game. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Of a couple days ago. Also, Pete, this is the thing that drives me insane. Obviously, like, criminals are worse. I'm not saying that. But among the non-criminal division, things I hate. Kardashian-like things, reality show nonsense. I hate every bit of it. It drives me crazy. Just rewarding talentless people who just simply behave like they're famous. Right below that, I annually get irritated. The Baseball Writer Hall of Fame obnoxiousness. It drives me up the wall.
Which side of it, though?
Well, this year's thing is we're going to have a unanimous selection in Derek Jeter. Like, it's now a thing, either Hall of Fame worthy or not. We already had Hall of Fame first ballot guys, that certain guys get certain distinctions. There are no levels in the Hall of Fame. This is a you, the writer, created functionality. Mm-hmm. Now we've got the unanimous guys. So Rivera gets unanimous. Now Jeter, because he's Mr. Yankee, is unanimous. Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer. I'm not telling you that he's not. Of course he belongs in the Hall of Fame. A lot of guys do that aren't, and some guys are in that don't. Whatever, who cares? But now it's this distinction that we're bestowing upon people just because we like them, because the guy gave you good quotes. You know what I mean? Like, this personal vendetta that people have where they love this once a year time because they couldn't play, right? And I couldn't play either, by the way, for the record. But they love this time where they're the center of the sporting universe and they're the gatekeepers of morality. They're the gatekeepers of who was good and who wasn't, of retroactive eligibility. That Major League Baseball decides who plays, they're deciding who should have been allowed to play 15 years ago. It drives me up the wall, Pete.
Welcome to 60% of journalism in 2020, Danny. I mean, it's about we consider players great who we like because we had great relationships with them as media people, and unfortunately, I mean that's just a bad evaluation. I mean, it's a bad evaluation, and that's what we see now. Look, back in the day when you and I were growing up, the Washington Post had as good a sports writing outfit as any newspaper in the history of time.
Without question.
And they had guys that were not afraid to go in locker rooms, ask tough questions, write tough stories. And we're still in a day in 2020. You can be critical of people's performance as long as you have sound reasoning to back up what it is. Don't do just a hit piece. Or, I don't like him. Yada, yada. Athletes are big boys and big girls. They can take the criticism if you have reasonable facts to back it up. And I think now we've got into this popularity contest where a guy like Derek Jeter, he's got he's a 10 out of 10 in terms of looks. He was a guy that was always good in the locker room with people. But quite frankly, there were better players. There were better players far more deserving of a perhaps unanimous vote to the Hall of Fame than a guy like Derek Jeter. And unfortunately, those players did not get that kind of vote because back then we had a different mentality in terms of the Hall of Fame vote. We had the one or two people who are like, well, we can't have a unanimous vote. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm almost numb now to Hall of Fame voting. I mean, this time
it
around.
It shouldn't bother me, Pete,
this time,
it does.
This time around the NFL, I understand special time, centennial, we go with 15 dudes. Well, if 15 people get elected and we can't elect Joe Jacoby still to the Hall of Fame, I don't know how he's ever going to get in.
So Jeter is going to get 100%. Mo Rivera got 100%.
He deserves it. Mariano Rivera deserves 100%. He's the greatest closer in the history of the game. That's fact.
Babe Ruth didn't deserve 100. Ken Griffey Jr. can't get 100. Mays, Mantle, Aaron.
That's my point.
It drives me insane. It's this new designation. Not only are these guys Hall of Famers, but we're letting you know that we approve of them. Oh, it drives me insane. You know who's a jackass? Curt Schilling. That guy's a jackass. Is he a Hall of Fame pitcher or not? I don't care that you don't like him. Bespectacled Timmy with a pocket protector because he was mean to you in the clubhouse that time, or he has weird tweets. Oh, I can't stand it. It shouldn't bother me, Pete, but it bugs me to no end. That's not even what we're supposed to be talking about right now. 800-636-1067.
You do a good job of being irritated.
100% unanimous vote. This is now the new level of special. It used to be first ballot. You're going to make certain guys wait. You're going to make guys wait for extra years. Hall of Famer or not, jackass. Now it's, well, this is, we'll have unanimous ballots for guys that were cool. What if Derek Jeter was like outspoken politically, one way or the other? Who cares which way? You think
what,
he gets 100%?
What if he chose to duck in the training room and not talk to you 5 out of the 7 days a week,
oh,
like some athletes have done in the past?
Drives me nuts. It is, again, Criminals 1, reality show crap 2, once a year, Hall of Fame baseball writers voting, drives me insane. All right, 800-636-1067. Back on track. I apologize for that. That was a digression. I'm very passionate.
But
very angry
we can
that.
Tie that discussion into...
Tie it in, Pete.
Into the upcoming Super Bowl.
There you go.
Andy Reid, without a Super Bowl Hall of Fame coach or not, because he's won a lot of football games, Danny.
Yeah, yes.
He's won a lot of football games.
Now,
he's won
it's...
far more than he's lost and had far more winning seasons than losing seasons as a head coach.
A 620 winning percentage gets you in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. You do it
but
for,
does it? But
for
does
20
it?
Years.
Isn't there somebody that's going to stand up in that room and go, but hey, he didn't win the Super
Bowl.
Yeah,
someone will do that. And I'll say thank you very much. That's really nice of you. He evolved. Look at what he was doing in year 2000, and look what he was doing in the year 2020. You don't
doing the same
that's,
thing.
That's what Hall of Famers do. His offense in the year 2000, in the year 2000, doesn't look anything like what he's doing 20 years later because he evolved. He didn't just yell about his way, as so many thousands of coaches before him who were maybe on Hall of Fame tracks who didn't make any adjustments. Andy Reid's a Hall of Famer as far as I'm concerned. But, again, people will do the thing that you said. They'll just go, how many Super Bowls he win? Okay, that's our only criteria for greatness. A lot of things have to happen, right? If a guy's not offsides last year, they probably won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But what part of that's Andy Reid's fault? The guy lined up offsides. I don't know. But to this Super Bowl specifically, my sweeping declaration, my big thing, and again, talking about stuff that drives me nuts, Pete, it's mostly the run the dang ball people that just lay in wait for a team to run the ball well in a championship game and then say, see, we told you. Never mind that running teams were losing every weekend. Baltimore, the best running team we've ever seen, got bounced in the first round because they couldn't throw to make up a deficit against Tennessee. Tennessee, the best running team remaining, couldn't do it, right? Because they had to throw and had to turn to Tannehill. Kansas City beat them.
Well, Kansas City's quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, was the leading rusher in both playoff games so far for the Chiefs.
Yeah, the highlight of the season is that probably that 50-yard touchdown that Mahomes had. It was very Griffin-esque against Minnesota, if I can say that. Bounced around like a pinball. Tiptoeing on the sideline. It was amazing.
That's pretty good, Danny.
Right?
Like
but so the truisms about play calling and selection are laughable. The data exists. Either you understand that play action is effective, more effective than regular passing, and you understand that you're most likely to be successful throwing early and often on downs, or you don't. You don't care about that. We're not arguing that kind of stuff. To me, the big picture thing that I took away is you've got to know who you are when it comes to what kind of football team do I have, right? I think Mike Zimmer, for example, doesn't know what kind of team he has. Mike Zimmer wants to play defense, wants to hand the ball off, and that's awesome. That'll get you 10 wins. You could lower your ceiling that way. You got a tandem of receivers that are excellent. You've got a great receiving back out of the backfield. You got to do that. You got to go with that. Whether your general manager, whomever, was right giving Kirk Cousins that money or not, I'd say he's wrong. But whoever, he's here. Sling the bleeping ball around. But he doesn't know who he is. He wants to do it his way. You see these two teams, Kyle Shanahan likes running the ball just fine. He likes offense, et cetera. He understands how unbelievably bleeping good his defense is.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it. Andy Reid gets where his bread is buttered. He understands. He's not worried about establishing this, that, or the other thing. He knows exactly what they are, and that's a team that's better when they spread you out and dictate matchups. Who are you going to pick? Tyreek Hill running deep, Travis Kelce running underneath, or Williams out of the backfield? Pick. Try to take away two of things if you're really good. The third one's going to be open.
And, oh, yeah,
and our
by the
guy's
way,
delivering the run.
By the way, Sammy Watkins capable of getting open as a fourth option out there. And that's why I think we're headed toward more of a game that we saw between San Francisco and New Orleans in the regular season, because this Chiefs team is equipped to attack against a team that if they don't get to him with four, they as you mentioned earlier, San Francisco loves not blitzing. Their four guys up front have been able to get home for the most part against most of its opposition. I don't see that happening here, though, because Pat Mahomes' ability to keep plays alive. They are going to score two or three, at least explosive plays, if not touchdowns, on broken plays just from him keeping plays alive. And that's why the score in this game is going to get a lot more elevated. And in my mind, it's going to be even more imperative for San Francisco to run the football and, A, keep the risk down for Jimmy Garoppolo, and, B, reduce the amount of possessions that Kansas City has the football in this game. Because I think the more you give the Chiefs the ball, the more chances you give them to score
the ball. Speaking of championship games, speaking of the Super Bowl, the ratings are going to be awesome. The whole country is going to watch. People didn't watch the AFC title game like they have in years past. The numbers were down. We got a couple theories. We'll talk about that. I've got a theory that this league needed Kansas City to win. I'm not talking conspiracy. I'm talking from viewership numbers. We'll talk about that 5 minutes away. Pete is in for GP, and I am Danny. You can tweet us at FunnyDanny. I almost said Grant's at Pete Medhurst. Pete is at Pete Medhurst.
That'd be all right. I'll take some of y'all's, like, half a million followers.
Yeah, Grant
like
is at Pete Medhurst, I guess. Oh, whatever, I'm an idiot. Okay, so you guys were actually talking during the break, and it reminded me I wanted to offer my sympathies as well. DeMatha High School tweeted this out. Coach Wooten, who, if you're from here, you know the name. Even if you're not, you probably do. Is in hospice care, and he wanted to, you know, let everyone know that he's thankful for all the well wishes, and certainly our thoughts here at the station go to him and his family. Impossible to measure the true impact of him, Pete. Just to think of the hundreds and hundreds of players that came through, and whether it was his camps or how competitive DeMatha teams always were, just a legendary figure. His feud with John Thompson and everything else that sort of set the stage for basketball in D.C. Just quickly, I will never forget one of those indelible athletic memories. They were awesome. That surprise, shocker, they're always awesome. I think they were number one in the city, number, you know, six or seven in the country. My sophomore year of high school, we went over there to that gym to play. I'm 140 pounds, soaking wet, you know, shaved head. I look ridiculous. Right before the end of the first half, with about 17 seconds left, he hadn't moved because they're beating us. We're competitive, but they're DeMatha, for goodness sakes. You know, everybody knows. Coach Wooten hadn't moved the whole game, stands up, walks toward the scorer's table during play, and lifts up a little bony finger and points at me and yells something to Terry McGinn, kid who could really play, by the way, was their shooting guard. I think he went and played at Harvard or somewhere in the Ivy League. Was a good player, way better than I was, obviously. He pointed at me. I'm going, what the bleep did I do? What is going on? What is happening? Well, that was a signal to get the ball to Terry, and they were going to pick on the weakest link, which is me. And so my coach is screaming, get up on him, trying to prove some kind of point, right? So he gives kind of a fake. I react to it. The whole crowd's going, oh, like it's an N1 mixtape tour, because they know what's coming. Long and short, holds for the last shot, gives kind of a move, a hesitation, starts to do a crossover. I go, I got this. I'm going to slide to left. I might pluck him. Maybe I take a charge. I got it. I still can't explain to you what happened, Pete. He began a crossover, did some kind of thing where he caught the ball with the same hand and went back the original way.
Without carrying it.
And it was an amazing move. I know that because I was on the ground and I saw the whole thing. That's right. I was on the ground. My feet clicked like this, like I'm Dorothy trying to go back home to Kansas. I fall down, put a hand on the ground.
You joined part of the ankle-breaking fraternity.
The whole place is going nuts as he drills a three at the buzzer and laughs at me as he walks by. The entire halftime was spent by our coach screaming at me. I was like, all right, I'm already embarrassed, coach. What are you going to do, make it worse? It's done. I don't care. But I'll never forget that, where Wooten made this. That was his one coaching decision of the game that he had to make, was pick on 14, that guy right there. But anyway, our thoughts are with Coach Wooten.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whether you go back to the days with JB and company playing against Lou Alcindor when Power Memorial came to town, and, you know, you think through the years, all the great players that have come through there.
A staggering number.
I mean, it's just a staggering number. And not only that, Danny, but his willingness to lend his knowledge to all the other players in the area, because you spent your summertime going to Mount St. Mary's. Because if you were in any kind of high school basketball program, you were told you have to go to the Mount. You got to be a part of Morgan Wooten's camp during the summer. That's where you're going to get better. And I'll never forget, 1988, the year after I graduated, he brought his DeMatha team to Southern High School in our community, and they played a game there. And our coach, obviously, knew Coach Wooten a long time. They were both stalwarts. Our coach won 500 games as a public school coach, but as they all called him, the fact that Morgie was willing to bring his team to that gym, and they would go play anybody. If you wanted to play DeMatha, he'd take a game against you. He'd bring his club. He knew what DeMatha meant to the area. And the fact that, you know, Coach Wooten was willing to do that for another terrific head coach who had sent, you know, hundreds of kids to his camp during the summer, a lot of which was on his dime, I might add. The fact that, you know, we're going to sit here, and certainly as events happen, we'll see even greater folks come out and talk about how great Morgan Wooten was, the people who played for him. They're the ones who know, because he affected them not only in basketball but in the classroom, as EB tweeted a little bit earlier today.
Yeah, well said. So no easy transition, but we'll make it here anyway because we got to kind of push on. AFC title game, Pete. Ratings were the lowest they've been since 2011. And the Patriots are in the AFC title game every year. We say we don't like dynasties, right? We say we don't like one team to be great. We don't like when the Yankees are always in the World Series. We get annoyed as sports fans. Well, the regular rank and file, they do.
Yeah.
They root for dynasties. They want the Warriors back in the finals. They want Alabama back in the title game. For the rest of us that live and breathe this kind of stuff, right, where we're sports obsessed, all we want is new blood. I'm so excited that Kansas City's in the Super Bowl, right? I love this. It's the first time in decades. San Francisco, it's not, you know, the Montana or young San Francisco 49ers, so this is newish to me, but still, I would have loved Tennessee to have made it just for that reason, the new blood kind of thing. Ratings were down, though. And as I said, lowest they've been since 2011. And I'm thinking this is twofold. One, no Tom Brady, no Patriots. This day was going to come at some point, right? You knew it once Manning retired. You couldn't have one of those mega games where 50, 60 million people are watching the AFC title game. Those two teams get after, whether it was the Colts or Broncos and the Pats. The second factor, though, was Tennessee. As awesome as this run that Tennessee made was, for people that love sports, and I think Vrabel needs to be put in the excellent coach category, Ryan Tannehill's renaissance, you know, Derrick Henry, the run that he was on, people were bored. People were bored by handing the ball off. People were bored by watching the same zone run plays, Derrick Henry not get touched for 5.5 yards, falling forward for 7. People were bored, and they didn't watch. I think that's what happened. I think this league needed Kansas City for ratings purposes. Your thoughts?
Outside of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, how much star power was there, quite frankly, overall, between the four teams that were playing? I think we can argue that. But you know what? Danny, we're missing the entire Eastern time zone. The entire Eastern time zone's got no representative in either of these games. So you're talking about big markets, New York, Boston. Obviously, the one thing with Tom Brady, you know, they bring star power, and they bring that person that, as much as they bring the fans of New England, they bring the fans of people that want to see New England
lose.
Who's going to knock off New England? There's no Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Pittsburgh's a team that will gravitate eyes in the Eastern time zone. Those teams were missing. Those teams were missing. We haven't seen San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo on this level as of yet. So they really haven't had a chance to establish themselves. He hasn't had a chance to establish himself as a star in the game as of right now. Patrick Mahomes, with back-to-back seasons now, I think you can say that he is definitely up on that level.
MVP, but, and then, you know, this year, maybe everybody's good.
But even so, across the country, how much does even Patrick Mahomes right now resonate across the country with football fans? Your point on Tennessee is exactly right. Tennessee, look, great. You guys made a great run late in the season. You were fabulous just running the sledgehammer at people, but you've got no star power on that team. As much as Derrick Henry did well individually, there's still no star power with that Tennessee team. And in Green Bay, outside of Aaron Rodgers, where's the star power with that team? It's not there. And with Aaron Rodgers playing poorly, people immediately click out. That lay fan that's got nothing on the line, that's got no iron in the fire with San Francisco or Green Bay.
I can take the Christmas tree 27 down, or I can
nothing,
watch
this. 27 yeah. nothing. He switched to something else.
So the games weren't as competitive, and I think that's a factor as well. We should obviously mention that. But I think I'm onto something. Buy or sell? That's a simple question. 800-636-1067. We needed Kansas City. The Super Bowl over-under would have been 15 points less, right?
Oh, yeah.
The game would have been a lot less exciting. It's a lot less compelling. Kansas City needed to win for our entertainment. Buy or sell? 800-636-1067. Lorenzo Alexander will join us at 11. Your calls next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Lorenzo Alexander will join this program in 13 minutes. Welcome back. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Pete is in for GP. I think the league needed Kansas City to win, but let me run this by you. This just came across my desk, Pete. An urgent and terrifying news update. As you know this. I didn't know this because I don't watch the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. I stopped watching the Pro Bowl years ago when, I didn't remember who it was, a defensive lineman beat the offensive tackle, had a chance to hit the quarterback, and just sort of pulled up and let him go. And I went, oh, this isn't football anymore. This is weird gimmicky it's jerseys, not. And yeah. You're hoping for a YouTube highlight, and someone's going to have a fun celebration with a selfie. I don't like it, but people watch it. People watch the Pro Bowl. I'm mystified by it. I don't get it. But they do. They did away with kickoffs at the Pro Bowl all the way back in 2013. Again, I didn't know that. Shows you how long I've gone since, between Pro Bowl viewings. They're experimenting with an onside kick alternative because the league, I think, ultimately wants to do away with kickoffs altogether. Like, that's where they're headed. They've done everything but do that, and they're close to doing it. They want to do it, I think. But they're experimenting with an onside kick alternative because you still have to offer that option in some way, right? So the option that they're going with is you either choose for your opponent. You can have the ball at your 25-yard line. That's kind of the standard choice I think people are going to do. I think they should move it to the 30, but I'm just one man. I'm just sitting here talking to my friend Pete. The second choice, here's your onside kick choice. From your own 25, you get one down. They're calling it 4th and 15, but you get one down to get 15 yards because they think that's about the same likelihood of an onside kick recovery. How warm were you to that proposal, to that idea?
You would be doing it from your own 25.
Yes. You don't get it. It's their ball going the other way.
And you need to get to the 40. No, please stop. You're just compromising good football. You're just compromising the best. This is something like the XFL would probably come up with at some point.
The XFL would, but the XFL came up with some good stuff the NFL still uses. Right? You think of cameras, think mm-hmm. of some of the access. Now, the rules, not as much. We're not blowing each other up on punts and stuff.
I don't want to change many of the rules of the NFL. I want the NFL to still be king and played the way that it's normally played. We don't need to go to look, if you want to give in a – no, because I'm even willing – for a moment I was willing to go in the fourth quarter – under 2 minutes to go, if you want to go for a 15-yard play from your 25-yard line to the 40 because you need to come from behind, you could try that. But I don't even want that. I don't even want that.
Why?
I just don't.
It's just an instinct. Look in your face. It's like you're smelling a dish that you've never eaten before. You don't want to try it.
No, it smells like, you know, Brussels sprouts to me, man.
You don't think it'd be exciting? You don't think it'd be exciting for a trailing team to have a chance instead of an onside kick where it's – you know, what about the skill of the offense? Momentum in a game?
It would. I'm not saying it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It certainly would have excitement. I mean, we can still win the game. you know, but it just seems like we've gimmicked it up a little bit at that point.
I'm with you, but here's what I would offer. We think of things that we've always had as normal, okay? What do you think of when you think of football? You think of 11 on 11. You think of scheme. You think of blocking. You think of running, passing, catching, throwing, the things that make football football. Well, football has these weird quirks, right? Where if you're explaining the game to a space alien that's never watched before, yes, 97% of the plays go one way. There's, you know, 120 give or take plays in a football game. Then there are five or six specialty plays that don't really look like these other times. That's where a man that will drop back there who doesn't look like any of the other players, he's skinnier, maybe he's got a pot belly, he's got a weird face mask, he's going to kick the ball. And there are different meanings for the kicking. It's the only time it happens in football. NFL plays happen, and then there's this weird kicking element. One time a guy's going to be on the ground and hold it still. Another time he's going to hit it with his foot, and then the other team gets it. The football part is the part we all love. With all due respect to my boy Tressway, who's excited for the punt? Who's excited for the little 5'7 guy to come out there and put foot to ball? Let's go. Hopefully there's more kicks in this one. He's my fantasy kicker. People in leagues now eliminated the kicker position because it's not fun. Offense is fun. Going for it is fun, right? This, to me, is a big fat yes. Oh, it's a huge thumbs up for your boy. This is exciting. I want the excitement. I want a team to be able to come back. You're down a couple scores. Keep the ball. It's like you're playing pickup out there with Epstein, and you're called winners because you made the first bucket. I'm going to keep the ball. I'm going to get to 11 before you even get the rock back. Give me this, Pete. I love this. I don't know if it'll happen.
Option available the whole game or just in the fourth quarter or less than 2 minutes to go. Or do you want it available the entire game like that?
Oh, yeah. No, you're not going to do it in the first quarter. You're not going to give them the ball.
You know what,
25.
Though? There would be, I guarantee you there'd be one or two coaches that would try to go out of the box early on this. I could see Doug Peterson doing that in Philadelphia.
Because he doesn't believe in your defense? Fourth and 15 is a big, I mean, that's a big thing to chew off there.
If you were an offensive coordinator, would you have gone for it on fourth and 15 against the Redskins secondary this year?
Sometimes.
You knew they weren't pressuring your passer, and B, you knew they weren't covering your guys long enough for a 15-yard play. Kansas City would go 9 out of 10 on 4th and 15 against the Redskins defense this year the way it played out.
I'm telling you, if I'm behind, I'm doing that, right? Now, you look at what you have to do sometimes. You look at what Tennessee did, right? They're trying to make the comeback. They line up to punt it, so they faked it. Good for them. They got it. But imagine if they just punted that away. Yeah. That's loser behavior. You're trying to keep the score close enough, right? So you don't get embarrassed. This avenue for coaching decisions, avenue for an exciting play to happen.
Some coaches can't handle basic decisions now.
I know.
Now you want them to decide.
Yes.
Should we go for it on four? Should we look? We've got 3 minutes left. We've got two timeouts. You know, should we go for it on 4th and 15 right here? Should we take our option right now? How many times can you do it a game?
Well, I want the dinosaurs exposed. That's what I want. I want people that don't know how to do this stuff exposed. The guys that are bad at the real-time decision-making, which is, to me, what makes a great head coach, right? You can coordinate a game. That's awesome. You got a great game plan and a little sheet there, and maybe you can call a play or two. The guys that can manage this stuff, because there is way more of a binary between winning behavior and losing behavior.
I would agree with that.
Right? So you think of on your play sheet, you could dial up the greatest play, but one guy slips. Was it a bad play call now? Did one guy not get the audible? Was it a bad play call? Play calling is more of an art form. This is almost science, where are you better served taking your timeouts before the two-minute warning or after? Are you better
served
taking your timeouts
on offense? Player doesn't run the right route. You know, does it become a bad decision on 4th and 15 with 3 minutes to go at
that point?
Exactly
right. I mean, there are binary decisions that are either, again, like we're talking about with running and passing. There's best practice, and then there's you could still win, but you got to be luckier, right? I love making coaches make more of those decisions. It's why, just as we're sitting there talking, I would love Major League Baseball to, as we're doing.
Would make for some great Monday mornings for us.
Well,
I know that.
Well, you're dealing with the Astros and some of the espionage, right, with the video. My belief is the way it should go like this for Major League Baseball challenges, and I'm going somewhere with this. You don't call anybody. You take that phone right out of the damn clubhouse. I don't want the review guys to have anything to do with anything. Manager looks at it. You either go with it right now or you don't.
No, I'm with you on
that's
that,
what
too.
I would do.
Instantaneously. I can see that.
Instantaneously. Dude, you blew this one.
Just look at your bench coach, pitching coach all in the dugout. if you're all in agreement, you know, hey, let's go challenge it.
I'm not doing this. Hold your hand up. Right. This I'm going to give you the keep rolling.
Got 30 seconds to check with the guy down the hallway.
Either it's egregious or we keep going.
What do you got, Vern? Oh, no, that's okay. Go ahead and play.
Because what you get then is the guy that's been safe since Abner Doubleday put bases down on the ground, who's now out because a fraction of an inch came off the base.
Yes.
That guy's safe now, and we go back to normal. The same way in basketball. Who generated the ball out of bounds? It actually, a fragment touched, even though someone else is the one who knocked it. Now we go back to the other team. That's frustrating. I think we could do better. Anyway, that was a little digression. Lorenzo Alexander joins us at 11 o'clock, 5 minutes away. He'll break down what we're going to see here in this year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.